Phoenix voters have overwhelmingly rejected two ballot measures. Proposition 105 would have stopped any new light rail construction in the city. 62% of voters voted no on that measure. Prop 106 would have capped city spending until its pension liabilities are at least 90% funded. Voters defeated that by a roughly 2-to-1 margin.
The city says more than 180,000 ballots were cast in this election, which is the most for a Phoenix special election, which only had ballot measures and not candidates running. Officials say of those ballots, they still have to process about 15,000 of them. In a few minutes, we'll hear from one of the supporters of the two measures, Scott Musi of the Arizona Free Enterprise Club. But first, Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego, who opposed both Props 105 and 106. Mayor Gallego, good morning.
Welcome. A great day for our city.
Well, so you had said that this election was about sort of what Phoenicians want their city to be going forward. So looking at these results, what does that tell you about what Phoenicians want Phoenix to be?
It really does feel like the Phoenix of the future starts today. We're going to be a city that will invest in a robust transportation system that includes light rail. Our voters said we want to be able to do multiple things at once. They care about our park system, our libraries, and they want them to grow.
So do you get the sense that this is the end of the line for opposition to the South Central extension? This has been a contentious issue for a while now.
I believe I am the first mayor in Phoenix history to live on the South Side, so this is my community. I want to deliver a great project for the South Side. We are going to continue to work with residents and business owners to make this project as easy as possible during construction, which we recognize is a tough time, and then a win once it's done for the people who are there today.
What do you think that might look like? Because, and we've seen in parts of town where light rail has gone in that there have been some businesses that have closed and some have reported less business because people have trouble getting there. What do you take from those experiences and try to bring to South Phoenix to help some of the folks who are concerned about that?
We have committed to the most robust business assistance program in light rail history. We want to work with businesses on an individual level. So we're talking to the tortilla factory about when they get deliveries, how big is the truck, how do we make it work for them. We're sitting down with some of our smaller businesses, helping them develop a marketing plan, helping them get better data. What is the cost of food at their restaurant? We hope this will help them be stronger businesses and come out ahead in the long term. Part of what everyone loves about the South Side is the great small businesses and the unique community. And we're building the light rail to enhance what's already there.
Do you get the sense that you'll be able to win over critics, like folks who maybe were part of the four lanes or no train or of the Building a Better Phoenix? Do you think at this point, now that the election's over, you might be able to get them to support light rail down there?
We are going to do our best to work with them to try to listen and make this project as successful as possible. There are a variety of different interests, and I think some of them will want to work with us, and some people feel strongly that we should not be investing in mass transit. We are unlikely to sway them.
Let me ask you about Prop 106. You referenced Phoenix voters in your mind want the city to be able to do a bunch of things and invest in parks and libraries, things like that. The city, though, still has an issue with its pensions, right? I mean, do you foresee changing how Phoenix pays off its liability going forward?
Proposition 106 would have said the city of Phoenix has really only one spending priority, paying down the pension. We are the fifth largest city in the country and the fastest growing. I thought that perspective was dangerous, putting us in handcuffs on the budget. We absolutely have to meet our pension commitments. The individuals and unions representing people in the pension, police and fire, opposed the initiative, as did I, because they live here too, and they know that great cities need to do many things at once. We have to meet our pension commitments, but we also have to invest in the infrastructure and the people we need for a great global city.
So what do you anticipate doing now in the realm of pensions? I mean, do you anticipate talking to folks and trying to figure out a way to maybe pay this off in a way that wasn't maybe quite so constraining as Prop 106 would have been?
Absolutely. We've done some innovative financing methods where we've tried to look at bonds and debt and what resources were available to pay down the pension. We're also working with the state of Arizona, which manages our public safety pension, to examine their investment strategy and have one that we think is more sustainable over the long term and has more reflection of the best investment principles out there.
You mentioned the fact that 106 would have put you in handcuffs, the city in handcuffs. How, from a practical perspective, like how big of a problem might that have been for the city, especially maybe when the economy wasn't doing as well as it is now?
If we had gone into a recession and the city had made significant cuts to balance our budget, we would have locked in that recession. So any growth would have had to go into the pension. If you recall the downturn, we had to make significant cuts in city services. We were closing libraries, reducing hours. Landscaping along the street suffered. But as the economy and the city came back, revenues grew, we brought back those services. Just next month, we're going to be opening 4 libraries for the first time in quite a while on Sunday. We are able to do that because we do not have a Proposition 106. If it had passed, it would have locked in those low levels of service, which no one found satisfying. So I am grateful that we have the flexibility to weather recessions in the future. We don't like to make cuts, but they are even more devastating if they are permanent.
All right. That is Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego. Mayor Gallego, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for covering this important election.
And for a completely different perspective on the merits of Props 105 and 106 and their defeats, we turn to Scott Musi, president of the Arizona Free Enterprise Club. Scott, let's start with 105. The vote was lopsided against it, and light rail expansion will continue. How do you read the outcome?
Well, when you look at this issue and you look at holistically when you're dealing with any of these types of issues, I think this is a classic case of it's really hard to fight City Hall. I mean, the individuals in South Phoenix, the small business owners, the residents that were upset about this, they didn't have a lot of friends. Whereas you look on the other side, the entire establishment had lined up against this. And so that's always going to be a difficult dynamic in any of these types of races. I think there was issues over the confusion on what this was going to do, whether a yes means a no, that sort of thing as well. And then also I think that, you look at the campaign they kind of ran as the opponents kind of conflated the two issues, talked about parks and libraries being shut down and, people having to figure out how does it deal with light rail? Does it feel with light rail? And so you had those kind of different aspects of it. And then I think finally, whenever you look at these types of things, voters have to look at it and go, well, do we just keep going and doing what we're doing versus, changing course? And, that's always, those are always going to be difficult arguments, especially if you're, a group out of like South Phoenix, some small business owners. It isn't as if they had exactly had a ton of money to really disseminate a message and explain why this was going to be so detrimental to their community.
There was confusion among some as to whether if, in fact, the money were not used for light rail, then at least some of it could be repurposed to fix Phoenix City streets because people are very concerned about the condition of the streets. Obviously, Councilman DeCiccio brings that up a lot. Was that message across clearly enough as to whether it actually would be used for that or whether people understood how the money would be used if not for light rail?
I mean, it's hard to say and speculate because you'd have to probably do some,
market
research.
Voter,
right. Yeah, go and do that. But I think when looking at the issue on that specifically, I think that the opponents, were very vocal in saying that, this wouldn't happen and you'd lose all the money, which isn't true. The money could be repurposed and used for other issues. And so there's confusion on that. And anybody that's been part of these types of campaigns, if you're running a no campaign, confusion is your best friend. Create as much as possible. If you notice, the no campaign actually spent little to no time talking about the merits of light rail. There was really no campaign explaining this is a great, for X, Y, and Z. It was parks and libraries are going to be shut down. This is really just special interest driven. You didn't get to talk about the cost, which should be an issue that the taxpayers there should be concerned about. I think one of the most salient issues, and I think what was brought up during the campaign, is that the South Phoenix extension did triple in cost.
I want to ask you one of the special interest questions, though. The Koch brothers were mentioned. How do you balance that when a campaign has outside money with people in South Phoenix who are concerned about it as well?
I think that was obviously a characterization that the No campaign wanted to convey because they wanted to make this look like it was some sort of phony, when in reality it wasn't. If you went down and talked to the owners of Poncho's or Gino's Pizza or Pete's Fish and Chips, these weren't puppets. These were real people that are going to be impacted by this. And I think it was a disservice to them that their story never was really told and how this was going to impact their community. I don't think it never really got out there. It was obviously that they didn't have the resources to really push that out there. I think secondly, too, I think there's also hypocrisy in this, is that if you look at the campaign finance reports, they talk about where money's coming from. On the no side, it was the who's who list of various organizations that don't disclose their donors, which everybody wants to tag the label of dark money onto it. But apparently, if you oppose light rail and you get funding with those sources, it's okay.
Let's talk briefly about Prop 106, which would have affected city budgets related to paying down pension costs, which, of course, in Phoenix, as in many other cities, is a real problem. That also got defeated soundly. There's definite concern about the cost of pension and how that affects city spending. So do you think this was a case of voters not really understanding, or this was not the right plan right now?
A lot of people don't understand pensions. I think people generally believe that there is an issue there and there's a problem. In the case of the Prop 106, they went heavy on a message saying it was going to shut down parks and libraries. We can debate whether or not that was true or not. But I don't think that, you know, the City Hall establishment, which generally opposed this, I don't think it was an accident that the actual ballot language included language in that it said this was going to impact the budgets of parks and libraries. Now, you could have provided a myriad of things in there to talk about things that maybe would have impacted maybe city employees, salaries, whatever it is. But of course, they specifically cite parks and libraries.
Scott Musi, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Scott Musi is president of the Arizona Free Enterprise Club.